You know, you took that Romans class, and I see a lot of his messages, the teachings and the truth from that Romans class, and it blesses my heart. Okay, John, here's the title. Danny, who's ever writing them down? Who is your invited guest? Who is your invited guest? I'm going to bring a familiar passage to you today. I'm going to try to teach you a few things, then I'm going to try to preach to you a little bit, and then I'm going to come back and try to show you something at the very end. You ought to be shouting at the end. And I've never saw these, at least I don't, to my memory, I don't remember ever having this truth about these numbers that I saw this week with this. Well, let's all stand to see God, read God's word. It's I'll read it to you. Chapter 2 of John, verse 1 through 11. It's a familiar passage of scripture. No, I haven't forgot about the revelation message, but I'm waiting for the Lord to let me know when I'm supposed to preach that. Didn't forget it. Know all about it. Here's the thing. You teachers, listen to me. You that work in super church and any time, always try to be led of God, no matter what, in your witnessing and your teaching, no matter what you do. Say, God, is this? Let God tell you what to do. Don't get say, I've got to preach this. If you go through my Bible, sometimes I'll have four or five messages in my Bible, you know. But I'm waiting on the Lord to say, I want you to preach it now. And so let the Lord lead you, and you'll be more fruitful. Okay, now look at verse 1 of chapter 2 of John. The third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. The mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And there's going to be a marriage in heaven. I'll show it to you later in Revelation 19, 7 through 9. And those that are going to be in that marriage in heaven, they're going to be ones that are called and that received the invitation and accepted the invitation. And when they wanted wine, and the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. Jesus said to her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. In other words, listen. I came here for a reason. I came to come to die on Calvary. That's what that's talking about. But this whole chapter 2 is so, you can see Calvary all through this, the new birth. It's so tremendous. You look up in verse 14 and 15, you'll see Jesus going in the temple and cleaning out the temple. See, right down here far, you see the water changed into wine. That's a new birth, a new beginning, a new creation. So you see a new, this is a lot of spiritual teaching here about the new birth. And after we get saved, our bodies become the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so then as we grow, he cleans out the temple. He gets things out of my life and out of your life, Kenny, that he doesn't want. See, there's a great truth and application. I ain't got time to preach on it, so I'm just trying to put these out. So, because once I get going, I'm not going to get past probably verse 6. So, but then verse 4, Jesus says, my hour is not yet come. Verse 5, his mother said to him, the servants, whatsoever he said unto you, do it. And by the way, whatever he tells you, you ought to do it too. Amen. Me too. And verse 6, there were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Oh, I saw something here, Mark, that I never saw before. At the end, it's going to be like the 4th of July, the grand finale coming out. And verse 7, Jesus filled the water pots with water, said to fill them. And they filled them up to the brim, because once you get saved, you get all of it. Amen. Once you're saved forever. You got all the Holy Ghost. You don't have to pray through, work through, hope for. The Bible says in Ephesians 4, you're sealed until the day of redemption. Verse 4, I think it's 4:30. And then look at verse 8. And he said unto them, draw out now. Boy, once you need that water, of living water, and once you can draw it out, amen? And unto the bear and the governor, and they have bear it. And the ruler of the feast had tasted the waters that was made wine, and knew not whence it was made. But the servants which drew the water knew the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and said unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then they which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. Verse 11, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory. It's his glory, not ours. The choir has been blessing me because God's been blessing you to bless us. And that you need to let the choir, boy, that opening song every week is just encouraging. Thank you, Brother Mark, and thank you, choir. And thank God for the blessing. This beginning of miracles did Jesus, King of Galilee, manifest forth his glory in the disciples, and his disciples believed on him. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this first miracle that Jesus did in Cana of Galilee. You showed me, I've read this and preached it several times. It seems like every time you show me something that there's another thing inside there that I never saw before. Thank you for making the word alive and, Lord, just inspired and preserved. And Lord, I just pray I can be a blessing. I need strength, Father. Help me, dear God. Help me to be able to stand and keep my voice so I can preach. Give my mind the thoughts that you put in my heart. May you get honored and may you get glory from this message, I pray. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to give you something. You might already have it, but let me give you something first. There's a doctrine called numerology in the Bible. Your preacher is a numbers nut. I really like the numbers when they're bigger than the offering plate. Amen? But the numbers in the Bible mean things many times, almost all the time. God doesn't write anything in there. He has it for a purpose. Everything that's written has got a purpose. Even the jot and the tittles, the Bible says everything's got a purpose. I'm going to talk to you about some numbers at the end of this message, if I make it. And write these things. I'm going to give you some 1 through 9, some meanings of numbers. If you have a pencil and if you want these, you can write them. If you don't, just hear and listen to me then. Number one, one true living God. One is we have one true living God. He's in all three. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Amen. Two is the number of witness. Jesus said two in the witness, the number of two, the witness is true. So two is the number of witness. Number two is the number of witness. Don't believe just one person. You need at least two people to verify something's truth. Two is the number of witness. Jesus sent them out two by two. Three is a divine number. Number three is a divine number. Jesus raised on the third day. Number four is it's the number of the world. Lazarus was in the grave, dead in his sins. He's Lazarus. Remember, Mary and Martha had a brother. Jesus came and rose, brought him up out of the grave. But Lazarus pictures the whole world dead in the grave in their sins, and they need Christ to bring them up. If you don't have Christ, you don't live forever. Five is a number of, in the Old Testament, it's a number of death. David had five stones when he went to kill Goliath because he knew he had brothers out there too and sons. So five is a number of death in the Old Testament. Five in the New Testament is grace. Jesus fed the 5,000 with five loaves of bread. So five, the number five is represents death in the Old Testament, grace in the New Testament. Number six. Six is a number of man. Man's made on this. God made man on the sixth day. The Antichrist number is 666. Six is a number of man. Number seven is God's perfect number. It's a number of perfection. So, seven is a number of perfection. Eight is you can either write salvation or new beginning, which means salvation. When you get saved, you become a new creature in Christ. All old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Lord, please help my voice to stay here. Then, and when Noah went in the ark, there was eight, there was he and his wife, his three sons and their wives, there was eight people in the ark. And Jesus, he was safe, saved from the flood in the ark. The ark is a type of Christ, amen? So eight means salvation or new beginning. Then number nine, in John 19:30, Jesus cried out, "It is finished." Number nine is the finished work of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. That's what number nine is. And remember that number nine, because at the end, preacher's going to be going wild about that number nine. Jesus said in John 19:30, you got it, Mark? See, this whole thing, what I'm trying to teach Brother Marty, it's more than just there was a literal marriage in Cana of Galilee. There literally was. But not only is Jesus teaching about that marriage there, but he's got a real spiritual truth about the new birth here. Jesus came to seek and to save them which are lost. And he wants all people to be saved. Matter of fact, the next chapter, he said in John 3:3, you must be born again. I think number 11 is, I don't want to go through all the numbers, but I think 11 is Gentiles number. It's either 10 or 11. And 12 is no doubt the nation of Israel, 12 tribes of Israel. 13, if you're born on the 13th, there's nothing wrong with that. But in the Bible, 13 always represents something, not kind of a dark side. Who's got the, okay, is that me? And even see when I talk about 13, how the night noise came up. And 13 is not a good, in the Bible, it connotates evil. Now, if you were born on the 13th, that don't mean you're evil. Were you born on the 13th? Okay. So you can see the products that come out on the 13th. No, I know. By the way, Eddie Wilson's got a birthday in March too. I don't a 26 or 20, right in there. I think it's 26. Yeah, 22. Wish I was 22. What was the last number I told you? 13. And then of course 40 is the number of testing. Moses went in the wilderness for 40 years. Jesus, Mark 4. He was tested in the wilderness for 40 days. So 40 is a number of testing. Okay, now let's look at John chapter. But remember those 1 through 9, especially number 9, because at the end of my message, I'm going to show you some things about 9. And what is 9? Tell me what 9 means. Finished work of God, and of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Jesus came for one reason. I don't care what anybody tells you. Jesus had one reason for being born in the manger of a virgin. He came to die for you and I. Jesus came to die on Calvary's cross, to shed his blood. That was the plan before the foundation of the world between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. The Trinity got together before man was ever here. And they looked down, they said, they saw a man. See, because God can, he's the Alpha and the Omega. He can see the beginning. He can see even at the end. And so they realized that man would be created, but they realized man would falter and go out and sin. And man would need a redeemer. Christ was the redeemer of the world. And he died and suffered from 9 o'clock in the morning to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. 6 hours. Six a number of man. Jesus died on the cross, suffered for man. 6 hours. I'll talk to you more about that at Easter time. It's coming up, not too far from it, is it? And so, Jesus cried out in John 19:30, "It is finished!" And then he gave up his spirit, he gave up his ghost. All the price was paid for. Everything that mankind needed, because man has nothing to offer God, they need Christ to go to heaven. So there, at Calvary's cross, the place of the skull, Golgotha Hill, Jesus did the finished work for all mankind. Look at your Bible now. Let's look at verse 1. I'm hoping to get to verse 6. You'll see in verse 1, it says in the third day. Huh, isn't that amazing? Why is it saying third day? Because I think God's trying to remind us Jesus rose on the third day. And there was a marriage. Did you see that? And look where this marriage was. Cana of Galilee. Did you know, Bobby, that word Cana is only used 4 times in the Bible? That word Cana? Only 4 times in the whole Bible. It's in John chapter 2, verse 1, Mike. It's in John chapter 2, verse 11. By the way, it's all in the book of John. It's in John 2, 1, John 2, 11, John 4, 46, and John 21, 2. Only 4 times. You know, I looked up that word Cana, trying to find a meaning or expression from it. And it said a certain place and a certain stream. I'll get to that at the end. Write that down. Certain place. That's my end of my message. Certain place, certain stream or water. Okay? And now we know Cana was about 5 miles northeast of Nazareth. We know that. But look, always try to find truth even in names. God tells us a lot of things about names. Bethel, house of prayer. Are you with me? Bethlehem, bread. You know, Jesus, the bread of life was born. So just don't read your Bible. Look to see what God can show you in it. Okay? And so we got there in verse 1. And there are and it says there was a marriage. Praise God for marriages. You know, there's earthly marriages and there's heavenly marriages. there's marriages on earth that man and woman. Then there's heavenly marriages where there's a bride and a groom. Down on earth, Mark, you and Betty, you're the groom and she's the bride. Both you are born again. But in heaven, you're both the brides, and Jesus is the groom. See, those are in saved, we're the bride of Christ. Okay? How many are with me yet? So there's earthly marriages, and there's heavenly marriages. And note, Christians, by the way, both marriages are ordained by God. I don't care who you are. Both marriages are ordained of God. I'll try it again. Both marriages are ordained of God. They are, amen. And Christians, I'm going to read to you Romans 7. If you're a Christian, I don't care if you're single or married, you're married. Like, let me pick on Miss Mert. She's not married, she's single. But Miss Mert, you're really married. You might not be married here, but you're married in heaven. Amen. In Romans 7, 4, let me just read them to you. In Romans 7, 4, wherefore, my brethren, write this down, Romans 7, 4, ye also are become dead to the law, by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another. Romans 7, 4. All my Romans people have got this teaching. And then it tells you who it is. Even to him who raised from the dead. Who raised from the dead the third day? Jesus. So if you're saved, you're married to another. You're married to Christ. Then it goes on to say this. And because we are married unto Christ, here's what it says. We should bring forth fruit unto God. So if you're a Christian and you're married to Christ, we ought to all be bringing fruit. Amen? Now, if you have never received Christ as your personal Savior, you're not a child of God, because Galatians says we're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. You're not married to Jesus Christ spiritually, because only those that are born again are married to him. And you're not going to heaven, and you're only one heartbeat from hell. Because if you're not saved, and when your heart's beating right now, if it stops, If you die without Christ, you'll go to hell. Not God's fault, your fault. You should have made him your Savior. Now, Jesus, if you notice verse 2, Jesus and his disciples were called to the marriage. You know, and hold your hand there in John. Don't lose, because I'm gonna be in John the rest of the way. But look at Revelation 19. Look at Revelation 19:7. This is why we're up in heaven. I'll be showing this in coming weeks. But the rapture comes. We go up the bema seat of Christ. Judgment seat of Christ, called the bema seat. We'll be raptured, which is going to happen real soon, by the way. You better have your rapture shoes on. We're getting ready. That's a little thing. We'll be up in heaven for 7 years. We're going to be at the judgment seat of Christ. Some people call it the bema seat. And then, after that, we're going to have a big marriage supper in heaven. And before we come back, Tommy, before we come back riding on those white horses in the battle of Armageddon, and Jesus is a winner. Yeah, I love winning. You ever watch these cowboy shows? When I was a kid, they probably don't make too many. Gene Autry and the good guy. Yeah, remember the good guys? The Lone Ranger, the Cisco Kid. Oh, Pancho, Cisco. Only the old people know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Betty said, I remember, preacher. I got silver hair. I remember. And if you remember, Brother Marty, well, you're not as old as preacher, but you're pretty young, so you might not remember this. But Raji does behind you. Raji does. Rin Tin Tin. And Rusty, yeah. And but remember, always at the end, they were like the bad guys. The good guys would be surrounded. And man, they're bam, 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 bam. And boy, it looked like the bad guys were going to kill all the good guys. And it looked real bleak. And all of a sudden, all aware. Dun, 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 dun. And they have them riding on their horse with the white horse with a fly. Dun, 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 dun. That's exactly, they got that from the Bible. Because in Revelation 19, Brother David, we're literally going to be coming down on horses. Jesus is leading the way. And the trumpet's blowing, probably. Are you with me? Dun, 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 dun. Hello. It's a miracle what the world knows, even though, and they put it in another way. But a lot of those things you see, they get from the Bible. Almost everything. Now, where was I? Revelation 19. Verse 7, let me read to you. We're talking about the marriage. There's going to be a marriage in heaven. Hope you're going to be there. Jesus is one at the Canaan of Galilee, and he wants, you couldn't be to that one, but you can be at this one. And let us be glad, rejoice, give honor to him. Amen. For the marriage, him is Jesus, the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world for you and I. You sang about his blood this morning. Oh, I like that saying. Amen. See, I just believe my Bible's true. Amen. Marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife, that's those who have been saved, have made the bride, has made herself ready. And to her, the people that were saved, the bride, was granted that she should array in fine linen, clean and white. That's because Jesus makes us clean and white. Yes. We're all filthy, dirty, every one of us. And for the fine linen of righteousness of the saints. Look at verse 9. And he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are what? Blessed are they which are what? Hey, if you're here today, God's calling you to get saved. He wants you to be at this marriage. Look, keep reading. Unto the marriage of the Lamb. And he said unto them, these are true sayings of God. I'm not making this stuff up. It's true. Notice, he said, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage. If you're not saved, you won't be called. You've got everyone in this life, as Pastor Dave taught this morning. Whosoever will, anyone, I don't care who they are. I don't care what country. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. You're called. God loves you. Christ died for you. He rose that third day. He wants you in heaven with him. And this is what I'm reading to you is not too far off, because if the rapture happened this year, Annie, that thing's only 7 years away. But you'll not have entrance unless you're saved.
Yes.
And so go back to John chapter 2. I'm running out of time. And the people are called to... did you ever notice people who come to marriages? They come because... yes, you got it, Annie. You got my paper. People, when you go to a marriage, not many people just show up. People are called to a marriage. They're invited. They have invitations are sent out. Come to my marriage. How many are with me? The wedding day, see, that's how Christ says, come, won't you come? And the Spirit and the bride, Revelation 22, it says, and the Spirit of the bride says, come. And whosoever will may come, and let him drink of the water of life freely. Salvation's free. Now watch this. The wedding day of a bride and a groom is a special day. There's some very special days in your life. The day you get married is a very special day. You never forget that. The day you get saved, born again, you don't forget that. That's a spiritual marriage. The day you have your first child. And all the children. Yeah, it's special. Right? But can anyone say amen? Am I putting you guys? Am I boring today? I'm giving everything I got. I'm giving you everything I have. The wedding of a bride and groom is a special day. It's a glorious day of celebration. One of the most important days of your life. You young people, when you get married, keep yourself pure and clean for your mate, because the day you get married, that's going to be one of the greatest days of your life. I'm telling you the truth. It's one of the greatest days of your whole life, being married. And you that are married, when you look back on that day, it was one of the most special. If you that are married here, if you're still walking with the Lord, you'd say that was a special day in my life. Amen. And it's so important. You took pictures of it. Most of you took pictures of your wedding. Because you see, when you get married, it's one of the most special days of your entire life. You see, marriage is ordained of God. That's why we take pictures. I hope Rosie don't kill me. Here's one of our albums when Rosie and I got married. Look at Preacher. No, get back. I got Davey. Thank you. Look at Preacher and Rosie.
Wow.
Eat your heart out, buddy. Look at Preacher and Rosie. Look at Preacher and Rosie. Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, amen. Look at Preacher and Rosie. I'll come to the side. Can you see Preacher and Rosie? Well, I wish you could have saw me when I played ball. See me, bud?
What is this? That's literally me. That really is. I disappeared, but that was me. That was me and Rosie. Yeah, got it, Norma? Yeah. Tell you, no wonder that Rosie thought she was getting some, but boy, now she's like... Hey, don't knock your wife. You say she don't look like she used to. How about you, Bucko? Look at that. Isn't that special? Look at this, man. Isn't that special? See, Marty? See, kids? Yeah, and so what I'm saying is this. It was special. I still remember it. I still remember it. And I remember walking down the aisle with her.
I remember her dad bringing her down. She was crying. You know how you get these attendants and people? Well, my buddy Jerry Hunt, he didn't pick up. He didn't go to the rehearsal. And I guess he messed up. I didn't know what he... Evidently, he didn't do something during the wedding. I didn't even notice it. Guys, don't worry about that. I'm getting married. What do I care if a candle's lit or something? Who cares? I'm getting married. She's bawling. Not because we're getting married, because Jerry Hunt did something messed up. Boy, look at that. Look at that, man. Hey, kids, look at that. See? Aren't you glad you're my grandson, Austin? Look at how pretty Rosie. Yeah. Yeah. I might leave them out there on the table. You promise you don't take them. They're precious to me. They're precious. And look at Rosie. Look how beautiful she was. Isn't that great? I'm doing this for a purpose. There's my dad, and that's my mom. My mom was 4'10". That's why I never got to be 6'1". then all the friends and family, Mark, in the wedding, at the marriage. See all the family and the friends at the marriage. Then you got the bridesmaids. Then you got me and Rosie again. Boy, those were good days. Look at her smile. She finally got through over Jerry Hunt. I was always smiling. I didn't know anything was wrong. I was happy. I was getting married, man. And there we are again. I'll leave these out today. Please, if you look. Then, you know how you walk out of the church and everybody throws that rice and you're running around. And you're just, you're dashing off. And you're so excited. And people are throwing stuff. And man, you are so excited and you're so happy. And you're just whisked away. Amen? Amen. And so, you know, I want to say something to you. Boy. When you look back, your marriage was special, wasn't it? Do you still have... Let me ask you that are married. Is your marriage still special to you? Maybe some of you ought to go home today. Some of you ought to go home today and get out... If you've got pictures, you need to get them out and sit down with your wife and start to get excited again about your marriage. We let our marriages get cold. You ought to get the old book out and re-get the flame going again. Quiet in here, isn't it? Those who have lost their loved ones, they know what we're talking about. One day, though, we'll all be together. We'll never have to say goodbye again, Grandma. You see, our marriages are to be forever on earth. Just like they're supposed to be forever, and they will be, by the way, in heaven. You see, they're both ordained by God. Do you still have that special feeling of your marriage? Do you remember when you said, I do? Do you remember kissing the bride? Should be your first kiss. Remember walking down the aisle? Hand in hand, going out, people congratulating, throwing the rice and getting in the car. Hey, just married, honk, 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 cans going. I mean, do you remember all that excitement? See, that was, and that day was one of the most special days in your life. Why isn't it special now? What happened from that time to now? Can I say something? If you'd ask Carl McDaniel, who's been married many years and married, and let me pick on Bill Turner and Dortha, I guarantee you, how many years you been married, Carl? Ask Mary, because she'll know. 63, 62. It's over 60 years. It's been over 60 years. How many years, Billy? 55? Now watch this. So I said it for a purpose. I said it for a purpose. Bobby, how many years you and Mildred? 46 years. Isn't that tremendous? By the way, a few weeks ago, they lost some loved ones. They lost two or three, I think it was two loved ones over one of the weekends about 3 weeks ago. But if you ask Bob, and if you ask Bill, and if you ask Carl, they tell you this, I guarantee you. I love my wife more today than the day I married her. You go up to ask, you ask Bud Box, he'll say, I love Marty more than I did the day I married her. You see, we're supposed to love our wife and husband more as the time goes on. Just like we're supposed to, like we that are married in Christ, should love our Savior more as the time goes on. Wonder why we lose that excitement. Wonder why we keep take our eye off those who we're supposed to love. Hello? Now you notice in verse 2 of chapter 2, Jesus was invited to the marriage. And my message to you is, who's your invited guest? They invited Jesus. Is Jesus an invited guest at your marriage? Is Jesus an invited guest in your home? Is Jesus an invited guest in your personal daily life? He ought to be. And if he's not, that's why your life's so messed up. Is Jesus the center point and focus of your life? He ought to be. In your marriage, he ought to be. Did you once welcome him into your life and marriage, but now you've drifted away from him and his ways, and now he's not so welcome as he once was? Does Jesus still play an important role in your life and in your marriage? Or have you shut him out, like in most cases? Do you know, Christians, the world's in trouble, but I'm going to tell you, we've got a lot of trouble just in our churches. Now let me say this to you. The average Christian, I pastored for 20, oh, I'm going towards 29 years of pastoring. I've seen a lot. The average Christian home, is in turmoil. Yes. Right. Screaming and yelling. And husband and wife at odds at each other all the time. Quiet in here now, ain't it? Not many husband and wife pray together, read together, do things together. Everyone's going their own way. I strive to, even, now you might think this is nothing, but I strive to have my children at my table as much every day as I, especially on Sunday. I almost demand my kids to be on Sunday unless they have to be taken away some way because of a real... But Grandma, I want my kids around my table. Amen. I want to eat as a family. Amen. I want to talk to my children. I want to talk to my grandchildren. I want to know about their lives. Most, the average family, they'll get a TV tray and eat somewhere. There's no set time for dinner. There's no set time for family time. And you wonder what in the world's going on in our homes. TV's rattling. Radio's screeching. They're playing on the computers, and they're... I'm not quitting at 12 o'clock, by the way. So if you don't even... It's 5 up, and I'm not quitting. I'm just now starting to get warmed up. I'm sick of Satan killing our churches. Did you know... Jesus, you know, I know most churches, most families, I'm just talking about Christians, singles or married, doesn't matter. You know why most of your life is in turmoil? You don't have Christ there. Because Christ brings peace. Hold your hand there. in John 2, because I'm going to come back. Look at John 16. Most homes are battlefields. Most men don't want to come home because the place is tore up. It's chaos. There's so much junk and things going on. And when they do get home, all this arguing and complaining and fussing. Hello. That doesn't honor God. Boy, you weren't fussing and honoring when you first got married. All you want to do is smoochy-doo and moo-woo-hoo. Yeah. I'm not trying to be evil. Don't misunderstand me. I'm making a point. You wanted to take your girl out. You wanted to hold her hand. You wanted to hug her. You told her, I love you, and you meant it. You can always tell married couples when they first get married and when they've been married a while. A married couple that just gets married, they sit right next to each other. They're just like that. After they've been married a few years, she sits on one side, he sits on the other. The kids are in between them. Hello. Truth, isn't it? You know what, ladies? You ought to still sit next to him. Let the kids sit in the back seat with a seatbelt. Oh, I don't like that. That's good. You're hearing it. John 16:33. John 16. What's happened? Satan's getting in our homes. Satan's getting in our homes. You better listen to me. He's out to devour us. And look up here. Everybody look up here. Satan's out. The Bible says he's walking around seeking whom he may devour. You're on his list. You're on his list. You better be close to the Savior. Because there's one roaring about. He's seeking to destroy you. He's seeking to damn your soul and discourage your marriage and tear your children apart. Listen up. Listen to this old man. We're living in a day, Bobby, that's the worst I've ever seen in my entire life. And it's going to keep getting worse. We better get our marriages back together. We better get our kids together. We better draw nigh to God. He's coming back. You haven't seen nothing yet. Look at John 16:33. These things have I written unto you that are saved. That in me, how many see that? I mean, John 6:33. How many? 16:33. You see it? That in me, in Christ, ye might have what? That you don't have peace. The majority of the church, I'm not just this church, all around America, the majority of Christians in churches do not have peace. I'm telling you the truth. And if you wouldn't lie, you know that man's telling the truth. Your homes are tore up. Your lives are tore up. You let too much of the worldly stuff get in your heart, get in that stupid computer and MySpace and everything else, and you watch that pornography, and you drink, and you watch filthy shows, and you cuss at your wife, and you do all kinds of stuff, and you wonder what in the world's going on. I'll tell you what's going on. You see, Jesus was an invited guest. Some of you need to get him back in your home. Oh, if you're saved, you're saved. But you've shoved him out. You shunned him. You've put him out. He's on the outside looking in. He needs to be on the inside with you. And the average Christian home, Satan has more of a foothold than Jesus. They don't read their Bible, don't pray together, don't care. Listen, I'm talking about, and this is a good church, and I'm telling you right now, a lot of you, and I don't want you to raise your hand, but I'm talking to a lot of you here today. I'm talking to a lot of you. And you know what I'm saying. It's quiet. Pastor Dave, when it's quiet, there's two reasons. Either God's really working in their heart, or you're laying a golden egg. I think God's working in people's hearts today because he told me to preach this message. You know, if you don't... Did you notice what Jesus said? He said, I give you peace. Huh. Let me read another scripture to you. Don't turn... Just stay. Go back to John 2. I'm going to read to you. In Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Jesus Christ. Peace is through Christ. The reason you have a war in your home all the time, you don't have the peace of Christ there. What your problem is, quit blaming the world. Quit going to the world for your answers. Get the Prince of Peace, Jesus. He'll make your home what it's supposed to be. I'm going to read another scripture to you. This is one of my favorites. Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. The reason you're so messed up in your home, your mind's in the wrong place. I'll say that again. It's worth witness. It's a true witness. The reason you're so messed up at your home, your mind's not stayed on Christ. Your mind's in the wrong place. It's real quiet here, isn't it? Go back to John chapter 2. I'm almost done. Listen, you couples, you better listen to me. And you single people, you better listen to me. You better start praying. You couples, you better start praying together. You ought to start reading your Bible together. You ought to be working together for the cause of Christ. You ought to start spending time with one another instead of with the boys. Don't spend time with the boys. You had that time when you were single. That's why your marriages are messed up. You go run out with boys, you forget you're married, and you start acting like one of the boys on the street. It's a good thing for a man to have a wife. Stay with your wife. You better start spending time together. You better stop arguing, bickering, and fussing. I thought about Ephesians 5:21, how Christ says, I think it's 5:21 in Ephesians, says that you do it both unto the Lord and in the fear of God. See, you don't care what God thinks about you. You ought to be loving your wife, because if you don't, God's really dismayed with you. You ought to be loving your husband, because if you don't, God's dismayed with you. Matter of fact, he's dog-night angry at you. And so am I. You better start loving one another. You better stop saying harsh things to one another. You better stop saying harsh things and fussing and bickering, which the average home is. And you wonder why guys get mad? You women need to learn to listen. And you men, if you walk with God, what you say, they'll want to listen to. It's so outbound. Oh, I'm the king of the roost. You are, knucklehead. But you ought to roost like the way God would have you to do. She don't mind me. You don't mind God. And she sees you never minding God, so why should she mind you? Well, she's not subject to me. You're not subject to him. You get subject to him, I guarantee you, she'll see the fear of God in you. She'll say, what you want me to do, honey? And by the way, what you'll tell her will be of God. It won't be some fleshly, worldly thing. Isn't this good stuff? You better stop saying harsh things to one another, and you better start saying nice things, sweet things, and heavenly things. When's the last time you told your wife you loved her? When's the last time you bought her some flowers? When's the last time you bought her a dress? See, I ain't got money, okay? When's the last time you took her out? Look, the other day, Rose and I were out. We don't go out very often. We used to go all the time. We don't go as much now. But we were coming back from Akron. And she said, hey, honey, you want to go to Applebee? Yeah, it's late. Too late for, we're not going to get back to about 7 o'clock. It was around 6:30 then. We got two steaks, potato, and the vegetables. We just drank water. Hello? And they gave us those mozzarella sticks and one was $20. $20 for me and Rosie, plus the tip. Are you with me? But you don't have to go to a place. You can go to McDonald's. Dee would love to see you come in. She'll give you a Big Mac and a quarter pounder and a Happy Meal. Some of you need Happy Meals. Your marriage is so much. You need just go to McDonald's. Say, Dee, we need a couple Happy Meals. We're in trouble. We've been fighting for so long. We need a Happy Meal to cheer us up. Even if you don't have money, you could pack a lunch, a bologna sandwich, peanut butter and jelly. I'd watch out for the peanut butter right now, but anything. And go to a park. Go to the church land. We have picnic tables. It's your property. You got 30 acres of land there. It's beautiful there. I love it there. Well, I don't know where we can go. I know 8300 Infirmary Road. I'm going to tell you right now, we need to. I'm just not talking about married people. I'm talking about single people too. We need to get back to God. Amen. I'm going to close with this. I got, wake up, wake up. And we better wake up. We better wake up. There's a deep-seated problem in this world, but there's a deep-seated problem in churches. And we have a good one. Coolidge, there are problems even in this great church. Even if, by the way, look up here. If we're having problems, and this is above average church, Jack. And don't come, well, we're all having problems. You come to me and say, who's having problems? You are, for asking me. By the way, you don't have to ask me. You still are having problems, and you know it. You know I'm telling you the truth. We need to get back to Christ is coming. I'll say this, and I'm going to give you the numbers. Glenn Beck. I don't know if Glenn Beck's a saved man or not. Yeah, he's not saved. If he believes that, he's not. But I was listening to him a few minutes, Mark, a few days, I don't know, may have been a week ago. Who knows anymore? But he made a statement. He made a statement that really got me. See, even these broadcasters, they're seeing what's happened to our country. You can stick your head in the ground like an ostrich, but I'm telling you, we've got problems. They got problems. We don't. We got Jesus coming back. If you're not saved, you've got problems because you're going to be left behind. He said, I couldn't believe it. And you could see it. I almost wrote him a letter because he actually moved me, Annie. He said, and to be honest with you, I'm real spiritual. I listen to the sports channel. But for some reason that day, Eddie, he must have, I got on 1100, and I just, before I turned it to 850 for the sports with the Italian kid, Rizzo. Tony Rizzo. Glenn Beck said this. He said, I see people going all around in the world. I see them in the malls. And he said, they act like there's nothing wrong. He says, it gets me that they can just walk around and actually is oblivious to all that's going around them. But you know, Pastor Dave was preaching about that this morning in Sunday school. We're oblivious that Jesus is coming back, and we're oblivious that hell and people are going to hell, and we're not stirred enough to go witness to people. We need to wake up. Jesus is coming back. People are dying and going to hell. We need to do something. We got to get our family. You got to get your family back first. Then we'll go out and reach the people. I know I'm going to close. Look at verse 6. I'm going to leave everything else behind. Look at verse 6 and I'll close. And there were set 6 water pots. You see those? How many see those? How many water pots were there? And it says that those water pots, in verse 6, it says they were contained 2 or 3 firkins apiece. How many are with me? Watch this and I'll let you go home. By the way, what I'm to be honest with you, the only thing I tell now, I feel sorry for the nursery and I feel sorry for the super church, but I don't feel sorry for you because I'm giving you something more important that you'll get anywhere. You go home, watch the TV. what you're getting from me is important right now. See, I'm giving you things of eternity. It's a firkin. Okay, I looked up. Do you ever know a firkin equals about 9 gallons? Okay? How many see that? How much does one firkin represent?
9 gallons.
Okay, so they said either 2 firkins or 3 firkins. So let's just say those, let's say if those those water pots just had 2 firkins in them each. So you got,
18.
You got, yes, you got 18. You got 2 firkins times two. No, you're right. Yeah. You got eight, and when one, the water pot that has 2 firkins, it would have how many gallons? 18 gallons, right? Right?
Yeah.
Now, and then there's 6 of them. 6 water pots times 18. I had those numbers written down. I'm too sick, right? 108. Right? And then, if they had 3 firkins in them, right? That would be 27 gallons, right? And 27 gallons times 6 equals, is it 164? I have it written. Yeah, 162. 162. Okay, how many are still with me? I told you the number 9. What does number 9 represent? The finished work of God the Father, God the Son, number 9. And I told you that Jesus cried out in the 9th hour, "It is finished." You're not going to believe this. A firkin, 2 firkins is in one of those water pots. One of those water pots, 2 firkins would be 18 gallons. 1 + 8 = 9. Are you still with me? 6. Then if you want to multiply all of them, 6 times 18... it came out to 108. 1 + 0 + 8 = 9. Watch this. 2 and 7 = 9. 162. 1 + 6 + 2 = 9. Never saw that in my life. 9. 9. The finished work of Calvary's cross, of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, God the Holy Spirit. You listen to me. This whole chapter is trying to say, you need Christ. You need Christ. Because you see, I think I've seen in verse 5, or I don't know what verse, one of the first, I think it's 5, they said, maybe it's 4, I don't know. Mary said, we need something to drink. It was a universal need. All those people at the wedding had a common thing. They needed something that only Christ could give them.
Amen.
This is really good stuff. Are you still with me? I can't find my paper. So, all your things represent 9, 9, 9. And see, the whole thing was this, Bobby. They all had a need. And the only one who could fill that need is Christ. He was the 9 factor. Watch this. I'm all done. I told you, Stephen, the first of my message. Cana. It's only 4 times in the Bible, number of the world. Certain place, certain water. You see, when you get saved, that's a certain place. And when you drink, like Jesus told the lady in John chapter 4, verse 13 and 14 says, you drink of my water, I'll give you, it'll spring up into everlasting life. You see, you've got to be in that certain place where Christ can reach you. And you've got to have that drink, that water. Ephesians 5:26 says that we're cleansed by the washing. We're cleansed by the washing of the water and the water of the Word. Ephesians 5:26. I'm going to tell you right now what a lot of families need here today. You need to get Jesus back in your home. You need to start drinking from the living water. If you're here and you've never been saved, you ought to come forward and say, dear Jesus, save my soul. I don't want to go to hell. I'm all done. Heavenly Father, I pray with all my heart. I did the best I could. And Lord, I know there might be something that I left out, but I can't pull it up. And evidently, you don't want me to pull it up, but you'd put it in my mind. So, Father, I just pray that you'll bless. I pray you'll bless these marriages. I pray you'll bless the singles in their marriage with you. God, I pray that we'll all start to realize that they want peace in their life, no matter if they're single or married. If they want peace in their life, they need to come and put Christ as an invited guest. They've invited the world in. They've invited the flesh. They've even invited Satan, but they need to invite Jesus. He's the one that can bring peace. Their homes can have peace if you're the invited guest into their home. Help them to see reality that they need Christ more than anything. I wonder why our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. If you're going to get baptized, please come right now. If you're here today and you never trusted Christ, I just want to tell you, he loves you. He loves you. He cares about you. He died for you. He arose that third day. He wants to be your Savior. Not just to have a head knowledge, but a personal Savior. If you're here and you never trusted Christ as your Savior, you say, Pastor, I'm going to be honest with you. I really don't want to die and go to hell. And today God's spoken to my heart. I want to be saved. Would you pray for me? Who'd say that? I'd like to know when I die, I'd go to heaven. Just raise your hand. Say, pray for me. I won't come to you. Won't embarrass you. Say, Pastor, would you pray for me? Pray for me. How many Christians would say, Preacher, I'll be honest with you. My life and my home isn't really what it's supposed to be. And I really need to get Jesus back in so I can get that peace that passes all. Pray for me. Who'd say that? Yes, 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 sir. God bless you. Yes, ma'am. God bless you. Heavenly Father, I did what we could. I know your word never goes out void. I pray, dear God, that you would help. Help us. We are a needy people. We need that fresh water from heaven, that living water. Help us to have that living water. And if there's anyone here that's never drank of that water, oh God, help them to see their need for the Savior that loves them. I pray in Christ's name, amen. Let's stand. We'll sing a verse.